Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. And yesterday, we began going through the book of Genesis, so we're going to pick up where we left off. We got to the end of the narration of, or the chronology, the written chronology of the days of creation. And in chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in that he rested from all his work which God had created and made." And I have a couple commentaries here now. The K&D commentary, it lumps chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 as part of the same narration as the whole rest of chapter 1. So he recognizes that despite the chapter separation, because these numbers are not part of the inspired word, were not translated over from the original, the Hebrew and Masoretic text, the original text of the scripture. They were not translated over with it, but they were added later for reference. And I would agree with the K&D commentary, the Kiel and Delitzsch commentary, that, and it's just, I would agree with them that the chapter separation should have been at between 2:3 and 2:4, because that's really where you see a difference in the writing style, and most likely the author that penned it, or the hand that penned it, was changed there. Because you'll notice up until 2:4 that it's always the word God, and which is in the Hebrew number 430, Elohim. But immediately in chapter 2 verse 4, it says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the," and it goes, "the Lord God." So we have Yahuwah, we have the name of God, which is translated, as we discussed yesterday, as the, lowercase T-H-E, uppercase, all uppercase L-O-R-D, in the authorized King James Version. And it says, "the Lord God." So in the Hebrew, it would be Yahuwah Elohim. So it would give his name and call him God. Now, of course, we know that we're talking about the Creator. And up to that point where it just says Elohim, and did his work, well, of course, that means that he's the Creator, that this God that they're talking about in the Hebrew 430 is the Creator. But we get quite a wide definition from the word Elohim, the Hebrew 430, and as we go through the Old Testament, we'll find out that it is not only used for the God the Creator. Let me just read it for you. "Gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used in the plural, thus, especially with the article of the supreme God, occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates, and sometimes as superlative, angels, exceeding gods, goddess, very great, judges, mighty." So it could be used as as a prefix to a judge. So sometimes where you see the word judge in the Old Testament, it'll be God. So you have to take that word Elohim in context. So, and the context, like I said, in Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 2 and verse 3, it is in context, it is referring to the Creator. "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth." So are the chronological narration, or the chronological account of creation, has ended with Genesis 2 verse 3. We're starting a new narrative, a more focused narrative on the creation. And, you know, a lot of, you hear a lot of these silly objections that the Bible contradicts itself, and these really intelligent atheists will pop up and go, well, look, were there two creations? And then you have all these other people who believe in, that there were two atoms, and there's all kinds of just aberrant theories out there that there's two atoms and the second atom was the real atom and the first atom was just an animal and that was the seed of Cain and all kinds of theories like that. Of course, they're founded on, you know, these people act as if, and that's why I differentiate and I say the King James Version is not the Word of God. Because if you think it is, then your thinking is an error. You have to realize that it is a translation of the Word of God. And a lot of things do not quite carry over in the translation. So anyway, from Genesis 2:4 on, we're going to look further into the creation account. We're going to learn some details about what we just read. And we're going to focus in on certain things that are important for us to know, that our Creator wanted us to know, and what happened. So let's jump in there. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that Yahuwah, the Lord God, made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. When did it rain? You know, that's a good question. Here we have rain, but he says a peculiar thing here. He says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So there was no rain. And this perhaps is a commentary because this author, the man who penned this, knew that rain did not come until after the flood. So perhaps this was Moses who penned this. Because we don't see rain until the flood, but the comment is here that a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Yahuwah, I know a lot of people like to say Yahweh. Well, if you get into the word study, if you, like I said, if you email me, go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and you email me and ask for that word, the name study, you'll find out that Yahweh is not a proper pronunciation. And maybe I could just demonstrate that to you. Everyone's heard of that leader over in modern day Israel. His name is Netanyahu. You ever heard that name, Netanyahu? Actually, I have a friend who lives just over the hill, and his name is Nathan. Nathan, we call him. But we call him Nathan for short, but his full name is Netanyahu. And I'm not sure what Nathan means, but I know what Yahu means. It's referring to the name of our Creator. So Yahu would be a correct pronunciation rather than Yahweh. And since Hebrew is the official language in Israel, and the Israelites of today have worked to restore that language, I would say that they're probably correct in their pronunciation, and all of the people out there that are saying Yahweh are probably wrong in their pronunciation, because he's not called Netanyahu or Yahweh, he's called Netanyahu. And also, if you go through the scripture and you look up the names of, like, say, Jeremiah, well, we know there's no J. We discussed that yesterday. His name is actually Yermiyahu. It's not Yermiyahweh. It is Yermiyahu. That is the correct pronunciation of the name Jeremiah. So the name Jeremiah, as we know it, there's no J. That's a very poor translation. Because Maya is not the name of the God of the Hebrews, but Yahu or Yahuwah is his name, or the shortened version, Yah, as in Hallelujah. So these are common sense things that we can figure out for ourselves. It takes very little common sense and very little discovery to find these things out. They can pop out at you. They're all around you. So his name is, and Yahuwah, where it says the Lord, Yahuwah, Elohim, the Lord God, it says in the Authorized King James Version, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So, not as the two atoms theory, the evil Adam or the Cain Adam, the seed of Cain. There's not two different creations here. These are not two different accounts of two different creations. One is not, because a lot of people say, well, in this account, you know, the man came before the food. This is not a chronological account as it was in the first chapter of creation. This is a focused account. We're focusing in on things. So a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Okay. Well, I'm sure since the flood that, you know, if you're looking for this place, it's probably pretty difficult to find. I know there's a lot of different theories on where the garden was, but, you know, it's all speculation. The truth is, we don't know. We can't know. Perhaps you or some person has gotten divine revelation as to where the garden is, but unless he can come up with some empirical evidence, until that happens, or until I have a divine revelation, my answer is I don't know. I don't know where the garden was. All of this stuff has changed. Everything has changed so much with that great event, that catastrophic event called the flood, the great flood. And the gold of that land is good. You know, personally, I would think that gold is good anytime you can find it and hold it in your hand. There's bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river, Gihon, the same it is that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And we get a little clue, you know, maybe you could search these things out. We know where Ethiopia is. And this was written after the flood, so, you know, perhaps someone could point out where the garden is, or at least we could have a good idea where it was. The name of the third river is Kidekel, that is, it which goeth toward east toward Syria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And Yahuwah took the man, put him in the garden of the of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And now that goes back to the replenish it command that was given. It didn't mean, as the people who believe in the gap theory say, that replenish meant that we had to rebuild it because of the first destruction and Satan's rebellion and all that stuff that fit into the gap between two verses of the scripture. No. He took the man, put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. The command was to replenish it. And we're still doing that today. We're still dressing and keeping the garden of the planet Earth. I mean, it's his garden. I walk out here in the foothills and I see flowers planted in the foothills, covered with flowers. We're to dress it and keep it and put roads on it and subdue it and plant plants and trees and vineyards and orchards and farm and build houses and have dominion. And Yahuwah commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. What was wrong with this guy? Here's Adam. He's given this command, saying, you're going to die. Well, what's death? You know, I'm sure that Adam had a concept of death, what death was. but he didn't really know. You know, it's like me trying to tell you what blueberry pie tastes like. I've tasted blueberry pie, and I can tell you all about it, but you'll never know what blueberry pie is until you taste of it. And that's like everything in this life. We don't know what it is until we experience it, until we step into it, until we taste it. Adam had not tasted death. So he commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." And Yahuwah, the Lord God, said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him." The place of a woman to a man, the very reason that a woman was created for a man, was to be a helpmeet. The man already had dominion before the woman was created. That never changed. She was created to be a helpmeet for him, to be a servant. Oh, boy, does that fly in the face of the Jezebel spirit of the age that rules even in the church. I'd say there are very few Christian women that understand their place in our Heavenly Father's kingdom, family, government. "So I will make a helpmeet for him, and out of the ground the Lord God, Yahuwah, our Creator, formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Adam, what a fantastic man. You know, we were talking about instinct a couple days ago, and how the Heavenly Father creates all of the animals with a program, the program we call instinct, so that these creatures know what to do. When they're hatched from an egg, a chicken, it knows what to do. It starts pecking at the ground, starts looking for food. It'll follow the mother hen around if it's not hatched in an incubator, but it knows what to do. It acts like it's got chicken programming. You know, it's got bird brain chicken programming. It knows how to act like a chicken. It knows what to do. It knows how to eat. It knows how to drink water. The colt, when it's born, almost immediately, along with many other creatures, has a walking program. It gets up on its, you know, its legs are a little shaky at first, but that program kicks in, and that colt knows how to walk because our Creator programmed it with the information already in its soft drive. You know, we have hard drives for our computers, but our brains are soft. But they're hardwired. You know, the technology is fantastic. We can make a hard drive. We can make a brain. But we have to program it. Well, he made our brains and the brains of all the creatures with a program in them. He didn't give us a walking program. We had to learn how to walk. So that doesn't come natural to us. It's not instinctual for us. We have to learn how to walk. Adam came programmed. He knew how to speak. He spoke the same language as the Creator. They conversed. They listened to each other. They talked. He was a very intelligent man. He could name all of these creatures. Adam was in, he was learning something. We were programmed to learn. So what was Yahuwah, the Lord God, teaching Adam? He brought unto him, unto Adam, to see what he would call all of these creatures. And whatever he called them, this very intelligent man named every living creature. Why was he given the opportunity to name? Because he was given dominion. If you own something, you name it. It's yours. You can name it. You can change it. You can alter the name. Because it's yours. You have dominion. Whatever he called it, that was the name thereof. A demonstration of his dominion. He was learning about these creatures that he created, that our Heavenly Father created. And he gave name to all the cattle, so we know that there were many different kinds of cattle, and that's probably a pretty blanket kind, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Adam realized he was learning something, wasn't he? He was seeing all the animals. They all had mates. There were males and females, and there he was by himself. So we're focusing in on that sixth day. That was a that was a power-packed filled day, wasn't it? Could he name all the creatures in one day? Well, I'm sure he could. Because it says he did, I believe it. And there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman, and brought her unto the man. Now, Adam knew what was going on. I mean, it's obvious by his proclamation that follows. He was not ignorant. He knew that the Heavenly Father, our Creator, created this woman. There's no doubt in his mind. There was no question in his mind as to what was going on. Listen to what he says. And this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She came out of me. She's part of me. She's the same genetic makeup as I am. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's an astonishing statement. It just further goes to the intelligence of this man. I mean, this statement is so profound and had such an impact on the dominion of mankind. Remember, this is a man making a proclamation who has dominion over the whole creation. He has dominion over the woman. And he has dominion over all of the children that they're going to have. Because he is the head man. There is no other man to this point. But such a statement with such impact that even Yeshua, our Messiah, quotes him when he comes so many years later. This statement has such a profound impact on mankind even till this day. That she is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And I believe that the translation says that when the Messiah, Yeshua, quoted him, the quote is a little different. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and the two shall become one flesh. For this cause, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and shall be one flesh. So what is the cause for a man to leave his father and his mother? You know, we have this idea in modern day America, and the church emulates the idea and the pagan ways of the world. When the child becomes 18, they push him out of the nest. What a selfish thing to do. Well, today it's selfish because your children are not your servants. You know, they're just a burden. As a matter of fact, you need to practice birth control because you don't want to have all that burden. Children are a burden. You know, they'll impede your effort to obtain more and more things, to seek out the things that the Gentiles, that the nations seek. No, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. For what? To cleave to his wife. To start a new family. So a man, when he starts a new family, he leaves the dominion of his father and his mother. But until that time comes, he is under the dominion of his father and his mother.